Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue to learn from Jesus today, as we have over the last several weeks, going specifically through some of the gospel lessons that we've received from Luke, starting in chapter 10, we have the opportunity to hear this week words that flow immediately out of the context of last week's message. To bring you up to speed quickly, we talked about the stuff that God gives us and how to interact with that stuff in light of eternity. Perhaps the key verse that came out of last week's reading comes from Luke chapter 12. And let's see if this will actually work this morning. There it is. Elaine has me totally on board. Very good. From Luke chapter 12, verse 15, then Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And then to illustrate the danger of pinning our hopes and dreams on the stuff of this life, Jesus tells that parable of the rich man who has a wonderful year in terms of financial gain. He receives a windfall and decides after receiving that windfall that what he's going to do with it is find a way to keep it all for himself. So he tears down his barns, builds bigger ones. He says, "I'm set for life. I can eat, drink, and be merry." And just as it comes time to execute his strategy, God comes to him at night and says, "You fool, this very evening your soul will be required, demanded of you. Now who's going to receive what you have stored up for yourself?" You see, this man had thought that he was executing a strategy that would satisfy him, but in the end it did not leave him full. It left him empty. Given the somber note that this teaching strikes, our gospel reading for today, the words that Jesus shares with his disciples immediately after this particular setting, come as a welcome joy and a relief. In our previous section, Jesus had essentially said, "Don't live for yourselves. It won't work out well for you." In this particular section, however, Jesus uncovers the key to living in light of eternity, to obeying the teaching that he had just given us in the previous chapter. You see, the key to obeying and living in light of those words that Jesus had just spoken is understanding the Father's unfailing love for you, the Father's unfailing love for his creatures. It's the only way that we will be able to live generously in this life is if we have our hearts gripped by the gospel, gripped by our Father's love for us. Because think of it for a moment. If our Father is unfaithful, if our Father is not dependable, it actually kind of makes sense to store up stuff for ourselves. Why? Because we're the only ones that we can count on to take care of ourselves. So go ahead, store up treasure for yourself. It's up to you anyway. If our Father is flaky and undependable, that would be the case, but Jesus comes to reveal that that is absolutely not the case, isn't it? Our Father is faithful. Our Father comes through on his word. He comes through on his promises, and he promises to take care of us, which is why Jesus can say these things to his disciples. "For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" Jesus gives us three reasons not to worry. One, he says, because what you eat and drink, what you're going to wear and what you're going to consume on a daily basis is not actually the basis of your life. That's not what your life consists of, so don't worry about it. Secondly, he says, your Father loves you. Your Father provides for your needs. Consider how he provides for the birds. Consider how he provides for the grass of the field. He's going to provide for you. And thirdly, he says, don't worry, because worry makes no difference anyway. It doesn't help you, does it? Who of you by worrying could add a single hour to his lifespan? Have you ever had a scenario where you were struck with dread and worry and that was a good thing for you? I can't think of one for me either. So Jesus says, don't worry. Your Father has you. He loves you. He'll take care of you. Don't worry. Your life is worth far more than this, and it consists of far more than the stuff of this life. And third, don't worry, because it won't do you any good anyway. You're just better off trusting in God, right? So Jesus tells us not to worry about the things of this life. And then he goes on to offer us some very comforting words. He says these words in Luke chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, after talking about the birds and the grass, he says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Think about this statement for a moment, and how powerfully it can set us free from doubt and fear about the things of our life. First of all, Jesus says in the first words, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. In other words, as we go about doing what God has given us to do, with our eyes focused on Jesus, our eyes focused on the reality of the kingdom, eternal life, and bringing that message of salvation to others, God says, you won't have to worry about the other stuff. Why? Because you have a Father who loves you and wants to provide for your needs. So our Father provides for us. But then Jesus lets us in on another great secret in the words that immediately follow. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So first he says, as you seek the kingdom, God will provide everything you need for this life. And by the way, Jesus says, God has given you the kingdom too. He has provided for you everything, not simply the stuff of this life, but the good of the life of the world to come. You have been cared for abundantly and graciously by your Father, and that has been made sure through his Son, through his death and through his resurrection for you. The Father has you. He loves you, and he will take care of you. So then the question becomes, if this is actually true, of what are you afraid? What causes you to fear? Because sometimes we do fear despite the fact that these things are all true. Why do we fear? I believe we fear because sometimes our treasure is not the right treasure. Jesus says at the very end of this reading, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it strikes me that when we have a treasure in front of us, it has the opportunity to fill us with joy at the prospect of having it. It also fills us with fear at times at the prospect of losing it. Think about the treasures that we hold on a daily basis. Is your treasure the kind of treasure that fills you with joy at the prospect of having it? And does it fill you with dread or fear at the prospect of losing it? Often when we think of what we're afraid of, we can go backwards, kind of. We can scale back and we can reveal to ourselves what our true treasure actually is. For example, are you frightened of, say, a national economic downturn? Are you frightened of losing your job? If so, it's possible that the primary treasure before your heart is the treasure of money and the security that it might be able to purchase. Does the prospect of being sick or feeble frighten you? Then maybe your heart's treasure is your health, your well-being physically. Does the thought that you may experience violence or danger or terrorism frighten you? Then it's just possible, perhaps, that the treasure of your heart is your physical life and keeping it secure. Do you fear losing influence or status? Do you fear what other people might think of you? Then maybe your treasure is your reputation and the approval of others. Do you fear something happening to your loved ones? Then perhaps your loved ones are your treasure. Do you fear, as a congregation, do we fear something like the rules changing, the laws changing, we lose our tax-exempt status, and perhaps we maybe even lose our church building? Do you fear something like that? Well, if so, it's possible that our treasure might be the building, might be ministry the way that we've always done ministry. In each of these cases, a person who treasures any of these things has reason to dread, has reason to fear. And this is why. Because at any given moment, any of the things that I just listed can be taken away from you. Your health, your financial well-being, a loved one even, this building. Natural disaster could happen. A tornado could rip through our area tomorrow night, and suddenly we have to think about how to do church because we don't have the building. All of these things can be taken away from us. And so we have reason to fear if they are the treasure of our hearts. If you and I are going to live for any of these things, if we're going to hold dear any of these things as our primary treasure, we will be disappointed. Because either they will be taken from us, or through death, we will be taken from them. So here's a question. What if we could have a treasure that can fill our hearts with joy, can capture our imagination, and yet at the same time, it is guaranteed never to be taken from us? What if we could possess that kind of a treasure? If we could, I believe that fear could be removed forever. Now, that being said, we still have the sinful nature, so we are always tempted to drift from what's right and good. But if we fixed our hearts on this particular treasure, it has the power to remove fear from our lives. And today, in the gospel, Jesus invites us to receive and to hold on to such a treasure. What kind of treasure is ours and will never be taken from us? He is. He is the treasure. His kingdom is the treasure. The forgiveness of your sins and life with him forever is the treasure. The magnificence of the life of the world to come, in which we will live with our resurrection bodies, with Jesus and with one another. That's the treasure. And such a treasure, like nothing else in life, has the power to destroy worry and fear and guarantee joy for us. Think about it for a moment. If Jesus is our treasure, would we be frightened by the prospects of an economic downturn? No, because an economic downturn can't take Jesus from us. We still possess the treasure that is closest to us. How about the prospect of becoming sick, even dying? Does that cause us to be afraid if Jesus is our treasure, if his kingdom is our treasure? No. In fact, in some cases, those things actually bring us closer to possessing our treasure forever. If a loved one becomes sick, if we have to lay a loved one to rest, do we live in fear? Certainly we mourn and grieve, because death is not God's good plan for his creation. That's why he sent his son to overcome the power of death. So we grieve when a loved one passes away, but do we fear that prospect? Do we worry about it in advance? Does our life get filled with dread at the prospect that we might lose a loved one? The answer is no. Why? Because living with Jesus forever is our treasure. Living with our loved one forever is a good thing, but that's not our primary treasure. Living with Jesus forever is our treasure. And guess what? If your loved one believes in Jesus, you get them thrown in too. You get to live with them forever as well. First things come first, and second things get thrown in. It's a beautiful thing. Seek first his kingdom. All these things will be given to you as well, our Heavenly Father promises us through his Son. As a ministry, if things change in the future, the laws of the land change, we lose our tax-exempt status, or even perhaps we lose our ability to gather together publicly in worship of our Savior Jesus and to receive his gifts, are we afraid? Do we worry about that prospect? The answer is no. Why? Because no one can take Jesus from us. It doesn't keep our treasure away from us at all. Not one little bit. The world tried to take the treasure away from us. The world tried to nail him to a cross and kill him and get rid of him forever. We've thrown the worst that we possibly can at Jesus. And he came back again. He rose again. He is with us, present with us forever. His promises are sure. Nothing can remove us from Jesus. And nothing can remove Jesus from us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a glorious reality. Nothing can separate you from your treasure if your treasure is Jesus. He's that good. He's that strong. So in light of that reality, do you struggle with fear and worry? If you're honest with yourself, as I am honest with myself, the answer is yes. I struggle with that worry. I struggle with all those things we just listed, the prospects of changing realities. I struggle with sometimes how people perceive me, how people think of me. I want others' approval. I struggle with these things, and perhaps you do too. If that's the case, I invite you to join me today in repenting. I invite you to join me in turning away from that fear and worry, turning my eyes away from those temporary this life treasures which cannot deliver, and turning my eyes onto Jesus, the one who has come to be our treasure forever, the one who has come to give to us a reality that cannot be taken away from by the world. It's time to come home to a treasure that has the power to drive away fear for good. I want to share with you again Jesus' words at the very end, or close to the end of this text anyway, right there from Luke chapter 12. Jesus says to his flock, to you and to me again today, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." You see, it's the greatest treasure of all, and it's yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you receive the blessing. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always as they remain fixed on Jesus, our greatest treasure. Amen.